Good morning, everybody. And good morning to everybody online. I'm going to read a scripture from 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And very interesting passage. A lot of you will know this. It's talking about Elijah. And as we're reading this, as we're coming to this chapter, just to give you a bit of a background, Israel was far from God. Israel had moved away from God. This was a bad time for God. For God. Israel had moved away. The king Ahab had married a woman named Jezebel, who was a princess of the king of Sidon. And Jezebel, it will amaze you, because you've all heard of the Jezebels. This will amaze you. Do you know what Jezebel means? Pure. Virginal. That's what it means. That's what her name meant. She was anything but. She was one of the most wicked women of all times. And she came in as an outsider, married by Ahab, brought into Israel and brought with her her gods, different gods of Baal and the Asherah pole. And as we're reading this passage, Israel is in a very bad position. However, there's no shortage of religion in Israel. Full of religion, but in a bad, bad way. And it starts off by saying, now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab. So Elisha is the one of the greatest prophets of all time. He came to the king Ahab. And this is what he said. As the Lord, the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word. That's what he said. As God lives, there's going to be no more rain until I say so. He's saying this to the king. So when he spoke this to the king, it said, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kerith ravine east of the Jordan. So God told him to go and hide. Good idea. Good idea. Because they were searching for him, as you read later on. They were searching for him. Jezebel was very angry at the prophecy that he had made. Jezebel had many prophets, and none of those prophets were prophesying like this. They were all prophesying good things. But this prophet of Israel said there could be no more rain. And God said, go and hide. Hide in the Kerith ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you. What about that? God has given instruction to some birds, ravens, to feed him. God ordered the ravens to feed him. Now, God did not order the brook from which he could drink at. That was natural. And in fact, it dried up, as we will see. Because of the no rain, because of the drought. But the ravens were ordered by God. I wonder how he said that to them. I wonder if he spoke in raven language. I don't know. But he told the ravens, go feed him. And this is what he says. He went and hid. And the ravens, verse 6, brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. How many of you can believe that ravens would bring somebody else some bread and meat? They're very greedy creatures. They would already, you'd have thought they'd had it on the way there, but they did. They brought it to him. This is incredible. The raven brought him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. So that was a natural brook. But the birds were still feeding him. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath, which was many, many, many kilometers away. Go to Zarephath in Sidon. And stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So when the brook dried up, the ravens were still feeding him, but he needed water. So he says, now go to Sidon. I have commanded a widow to feed you. Wow. How did he command her? Well, he didn't. I don't know how he spoke to the ravens, but he never said anything to this woman. He says to her, he said, I've commanded a widow woman to feed you, but God didn't tell her anything about it. Think of it. How many of you know God's got a wonderful sense of humor? He told Elijah, it's commanded this widow woman. So he's imagining also, if I was Elijah, I'd be thinking, wow. Well, she'd be wealthy. She'd have the best house, servants, a lot. I've got to go and find her. This is going to be, and God's told her to look after me. Wow, this is going to be 5-star. You know, he'd be thinking like that on his way there. Anyway, he traveled up there. The word of the Lord came to him. God went to Zarephath of Zidon and stayed there. I've commanded a widow in the place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. And God spoke to him. Somehow God said to him, this is the one. God called to her, he called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? Now, he just arrived at the gates. There's this widow. Not looking 5-star, tired, old, weary widow, gathering a few sticks. And he says to her, can you give me a little drink of water? How many of you know there is a drought on? She wouldn't have much water left. Nobody would. This is not a wealthy woman. But she must have had a little bit because she decided to go and get him some. Which says to me, she must have known who this man was. She must have known that this was Elijah, the prophet. And Elijah means, Yahweh is my God. The Lord is my God. Not Baal, not Asherah, not any of the others. The Lord is my God. When you said Elijah, you're saying, the Lord is my God. She knew it was Elijah. He said, go and fetch me a bit of water. And wonderful, it's marvelous. He says, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have it? Could he be thirsty by now? As she was going to get it, he called. And he stopped, wait, oh. And bring me, please, a piece of bread. I'm not only thirsty, I'm hungry as well. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat and die. I have commanded a widow to feed you. She's gathering a few sticks so she can make one last little meal to feed her son and herself and then die. As I read this, reading between the lines, this woman is at the end of things. She's a widow. She's a poor woman with nothing. There's a famine in the land. People are dying of starvation and drought. It's a bad time. She's got nothing left. She's a widow. She's got nothing. I'm sure that she would have asked her family for help. I'm sure that she would have gone seeking help. She's got nothing. Nobody has been able to help her. Now try and get this in your mind. She's got a son who's so hungry. I mean, their food's run out. She's kept this right. She says, we're going to have one more little meal, and then we're going to die. So she was an hungry woman already. The boy was hungry. Can you imagine how she would be grieved for her son? Come on. Can you imagine that? She's tried everything, looked everywhere. There is no possibility of help. All that is in her mind is, I'm going to die. And this is the last little bit of food I've got. So Elijah, he's asking her for water. She's got a bit. She'll give you some water. For bread I've got none. Only enough for a little meal. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make me a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me." Well, she hadn't gone much, so what sort of a small cake was she going to make him? "I've got nothing, just a little bit left. I'm going to go home and make a meal for my son. We're going to die." Whoa, don't be afraid. Before you make anything for yourself, put me first. Come on. Me first. Me first. Can you imagine if the media got hold of that? Can you imagine if that went on Facebook? Can you imagine if that went on Instagram? Can you imagine if the journalists had got hold of that? And what would they have said? Another religious fanatic taking the food out of a woman's mouth who's about to die. Just like the church. Give me first. Let me have first. Doesn't matter about yourself. Give me. And you can imagine what the media would have done with that in this day and age, wouldn't it? It would have gone right around Facebook. Would you agree? It would have gone around the world in seconds. This is a woman who the Lord has commanded to feed his prophet, but inadvertently didn't tell her that. Come on. Because she was going to go and what? Die. That's what she said. "I'm not going to feed you. I'm not going to look after you. I'm not the 5-star hotel for you. I'm going to die." That's what she thought. So God hadn't told her this. I love this story very much because it tells me something, that God looks for faith in people. God knew the woman, of course he did, like he knew the ravens. But he commanded the ravens to go feed Elijah. And he says, "I've commanded this woman." "Whoa, what do you mean you've commanded her?" God is looking and seeing that this woman is going to rise in faith. She's going to rise in faith. Because God said to her through the prophet, "Give me some first. Me first." If you've got children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, or if you've been a school teacher, a primary school teacher, you've had a lot to do with children's, the expression, "me first," is not a strange one. Would you agree? Me first. I remember when the kids were little, and the grandkids, as soon as Nana bought some food out or chocolate, "me first, me first." Me first means me first. Not her, not him, me. We are good at using the expression, "me first." Well, cut it out. God says it's not you first, it's me first. If I was Elijah, I would have had a bit of an argument with God. I would have said, "I don't want to take that, Lord. It's the last meal. Oh, no way. No, I'm not going to do that, Lord. I am not taking the last meal out of this woman and her son's mouth. Please, take me somewhere else. In fact, she needs something." But he said to her, "Me first." He did not say to her, "Go away and make a little meal for yourself, but put a bit on the edge for me." He didn't do that. Let's read this. "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar, a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself, my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you've said, but first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have it and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. This is stupid, because there's nothing left. She's only got enough to make something, a little bit for herself now. She can make something for him. And what's left? Well, listen to this. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. He's talking to this woman now. This is big time now. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Now, she's getting a word from God. She, through this man, through this prophet, who's one of the greatest prophets of all time, could say, his name means Yahweh is my God. So she's hearing now God speaking through this prophet. And that's what prophets do. A prophet is a person who comes from God and speaks the word of God. So what's going to be coming out of his mouth now are not his words. They're the words of God. Elijah, don't be afraid. Go home, do as you've said. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up. The jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. So she went away and did as Elijah had told her. Hallelujah. That's a lot of faith. Because she's got a dying, hungry son who's desperate. But she didn't say, well, I'm going to give to him first. She was giving to the man of God first, who's representing God. What a woman. God sent him to the right person. Because God's going to do a miracle for him and a miracle through her and for her. I love this. She went away and did as Elijah said. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. The jar of oil was not used up. And the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Now, he didn't say, and there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her son. He said her family. I reckon she was able to keep her family alive, who also was starving. I believe God blessed this woman to bless her son, but her family is her extended family. I reckon every day they'd be queuing up with their little jugs. Come on, and not having to pay for it. After this, the drought went on for quite a while, but it was always there. It was a little jar and a small bowl. And it never emptied. You're just a little jar. You're just a small bowl. But you never empty when you make him first. If you say, God, you're coming first. I mean, this was tragedy all around. This was a bad time. Israel was in a mess. Politically, financially, morally, they were right down the plug hole because of this woman. They were in a mess. They'd got all these religious prophets lying to the people. The nation was in a mess. And God used one little woman who got nothing left to bring about an incredible miracle. Let me just tell you, it's not you first, it's God. But the devil will say, you first. You first. You first. And we pick up with the world. The world keeps saying, you first. You. But God says, no, no, no. It's God first. You put God first and yourself next. Never put yourself in front of God. You must do that. It's so important. A lot of Christians today, as I look around, I thank God for Christians. I'm not knocking them, but I see a lot of Christians and people who are not Christians who use God as an optional extra. He's there in case. He's almost like a insurance policy. He's there if you need him. And all of you people that got insurance policy, I've said this before, I've preached this before, I guarantee you don't read your insurance policy every day. You're not every day got that insurance policy and reading. No. You only go look for the insurance policy when? When you think you need it. Well, that's how people treat God. He becomes an optional extra. If I need him, let's go and see. But he's an optional extra. The reason why this world is in such a mess as it is because they put God as an optional extra, if he's needed, or an insurance policy, just in case. See, when we take out insurance policies, I'll guarantee, whether it's a car insurance, health insurance, house insurance, furniture insurance, whatever insurance you've got, I will guarantee, you're never hoping you're going to have to use it. It's just an optional extra, in case. When people use God like that, stop it. He's not an optional extra. He should be filling our life full to overflowing. Jesus was in the temple one day, and he saw this woman. And it was a time when they were giving money. And they had these big water jars made of clay. And when the Pharisees would come down and the Levites would put their money in to give to the church or to the synagogue, it would make a loud noise because they didn't have paper money. Then it would be loud and people would hear, and they would put bags of money in. And when everybody had gone, take it out again. But that's another story. But a lot of people didn't know that. And then Jesus watched this widow come down. Nobody had looked at her because she wasn't well dressed. She was a widow. What is she going to put in? She got nothing. Jesus watched her put in 2 copper coins. And he says to the disciples, hey, look, you see that woman there? Probably was just walking back. Nobody heard the noise of her copper coins going in there. He says, see that woman? She's put in more than all of them together. Now that is terrible arithmetic. Isn't it? They would be, in fact, those rich people that poured all that money in would be so upset that Jesus had said that. They would be offended again. I'll tell you, if social media got hold of that, they would have gone berserk over it. This woman put in 2 copper coins, didn't put in more than me. Yes, she did. And the disciples were beginning to, in their mind, question, how could she put in more than them? And Jesus said, she's put in more than them because she's put in all she had. There was nothing else left. Wow. She'd asked all she had. So in God's eyes, she put God first. I've got a strong feeling when I get to heaven, by the way, there's a few people when I get to heaven I'm going to really look for. The woman with the issue of blood, I've told you that. I'm going to look for this woman as well. Because I'm going to say to her, do you remember when you put those 2 copper coins in? What happened to your life after that? Come on. I reckon she would have been blessed. I reckon God says, I'm looking after you. You've put me first. Me first. I'm looking after you. Come on. It's true. Oh, he's gone a bit quiet in here. Are you getting upset with this sermon? It's going to get worse. Hang on to your seats. I remember once when I love the Lord. I was working hard for God, but I was doing a job here in Australia, and I wasn't full-time in the ministry. I was working hard, but I never paid my tithe. And people used to talk about paying tithe, you know, a tenth of your income you should give to God. And some people would argue and say, no, you don't have to do that. It's Old Testament. But I worked out, you know, if in the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, God asked for 10%, I'm in now the New Covenant, which is a better one than the old one. So if they gave him 10%, I should be giving him more. It's a New Covenant. Oh, I only got a few amens then, didn't I? And I wasn't paying my tithe. I didn't do it. I didn't do it because I couldn't afford it. What with my mortgage, food money, petrol money for work. And by the time I'd finished, I didn't have 10% left. By the time I finished, I just had a couple of dollars. And I used to give God what I'd got left. But not even all that, because I needed some for a bit of spending money. And I was feeling pretty bad about it. I know I was a Christian. I was a preacher. I was a youth leader. I loved God. I knew I was going to heaven. But I was saying one day, Lord, I really would like to give you more money than what I do. I like, and by giving that, I mean give to the church. I know the church needed the money, and I wanted to give to the church more than I am doing. I was going to work one morning. I'll never forget it, ever. I worked in pest control back then, and that was a very good practice for getting into the ministry, pest control. Really helped me. Gave me a bit of a tough skin, you know, not... Anyway, I had a license to kill. I did. So it was a good job to get me into the ministry, so, and I still carried on with that license to kill. And I was driving, and this is what I said to the Lord, Father, if I can get a rise at work, if my boss will call me into the office today and give me an increase, I promise you, I'll pay you a tithe. And I felt the Lord say to me, forget it. Forget it. I want your tithe now. I went to work that day very hopeful, came back very disappointed because I never got a rise. But I felt, Lord, you've spoke to me today. I'm going to do it. So from that week, when I got my wages, I would take 1/10 and give it to God before I worked anything out. Before I worked my mortgage out, my food money, my clothes money. Oh, I got 3 kids then that were growing up. Before I could do anything, I gave. I talked with my wife, Julie. She was very much in favor of it. And we started to give that 10% without mathematically working it out. I didn't immediately get well off, but I also did not go down the plug hole. Somehow, some way, my bills got paid. I didn't eat less, didn't buy any less clothes. Somehow, some way, my mortgage got paid. I didn't have 100%. I now only had 90% of my wage, but somehow it was stretching to it was 100% before. Come on, that's a miracle. Because I determined as a Christian to put God first. Now, this has got nothing to do whether I went to heaven or not. If I'd have died that day, I'd gone to heaven. I know that. I was born again. You're not saved by what you give. You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? That's what. But when you become a Christian, you've got a responsibility. Some things should change when you become a Christian, in you and in me. Instead of once I'm born again, I shouldn't be saying, me first, me first. I should be saying, thank you, God, for saving me. You're first. You've done this. Should I leave this planet now? Should I go? And I've heard that this week somebody was discussing on how much longer they think I've got, which wasn't very encouraging. But anyway, if I go today, if I go on preaching to you, I'm going to heaven. I know it. I've got heaven before me. But I've learned this. You can never outgive God. I've learned it. God is no man's debtor. I've learned that even though if I was not tithing right now, if I was not tithing and I dropped dead before you, I'd go to heaven because I'm washed in the blood. I've got wonderful blessings from God. But I've learned that while I'm alive, he's no man's debtor. If I give to him, he gives back to me over and over and over again. Come on. I'm serious. And I won't keep you long. I'm nearly finished. When I became full-time in the ministry, the church offered me next to nothing Nothing. I mean, next to nothing. But I took it and believed God would supply all my need. Guess what? He did. I did not, for years, sit down with my finances to work out how I could pay this, how I could pay that. Because I couldn't. But they all got paid. What a miracle. Come on. Oh, I'm speaking to you from experience. I'm not telling you to do something that I haven't. And I once had a lady, and I'll never forget this. This lady came to see me. She was a single mom, and she said to me, "You always preach about giving." And she said, I said, "Yeah, I believe people are blessed when they give." She says, "You know, John, my heart tells me you're right, but my head tells me you're wrong. If I was to give a tithe of what I've got, I can't feed my kids. I'm a single mom. I've got nothing." I said, "Sit down and show me." So she sat down and she penned out how much income she gets and how much expenditure she has. She said, I'm not even surviving on what I get. So I said to her, she said this to me, "Pastor John, I can't afford to tithe." And I looked again at her. I said, "You know what? You can't afford not to. You're on a downward spiral." I said, "You can't afford not to." And she looked at me and she says, "I know you're right. I know you're right that we should give to God. We should give like the widow. We should give like Paul said, without grudging, without complaining. We should give." She says, "I'm going to start doing it." And she prayed, and I prayed with her, "God, from this day on, I'm going to give you a tenth of my money." Within 5 years, I saw it because I was a pastor. I saw her life completely change. She owned her own house within 5 years. It was incredible what God did for her. And I'm just saying to you, I know that God is a generous God. And I'm not saying to you, give so you can get more. Remember, when I was giving, that first time I started, I wasn't getting more, but I was getting through just as good as I was before. But I put him first. You don't give to get. If you think, "Oh, if I start paying my tithes today, I'm going to get a lot more money." No, don't. That's a wrong attitude. Don't do that. Although Elijah said to this woman, "If you make me a cake first, then, you know, your oil and the bread will never run out. The flour and the oil will never run out." That was not what was on her mind, because that miracle hadn't yet happened. What was on her mind was, this is God's man speaking to me, and he's asking me. It's like God asking me. She wouldn't have worked anything out. She gave because God asked her to give. God is saying, me first. I'm going to finish with this. Put God first, or trouble will pursue you. Put God first in your life. Put God first in your worship. Put God first in your family. That's a hard one. But Jesus made that very clear about loving God more. Put God first in your life. Put God first in your worship. Put God first in your family. Put God first in your finance. I'm waiting, Lord. Amen. I'm waiting. Amen. He should not be an afterthought. The Bible says, the first words of the Bible, "In the beginning, God." Put God in the beginning of your finance. Yes. In the beginning of your worship. Yes. In the beginning of your... Put God in the beginning of your job. Yes. Put God first. And he'll never let you down. You'll never go without. I'll guarantee your life will be blessed. Now, I'm saying this not to bring anybody under guilt and condemnation. That's not what I'm doing this for. I'm doing this because I want to bless you. A lot of people here tithe. God bless you for that. But some of you perhaps don't. Some of you perhaps are missing out on a blessing that awaits for you. And I guarantee that what I've preached about this morning, God won't argue with me about. I don't think God would have shouted down to Elijah, stop asking her for a last meal. No. He's saying, put your trust in me. Put me first. Me first. That's a hard one, isn't it? In this world, the world wants to put itself first. The world wants to elevate itself, exalt itself. And that's why the world is in such a mess. But when he is exalted, when he is put first, I'm telling you, something good will happen. Just close your eyes, bow your head. When he is first, wonderful miracles start to flow. When he is first. I could bring you story after story after story of people I know that determined to put God first, and in spite of all that was opposing them, all the odds against them, they came through triumphant, and so will you. If you're one of those people, perhaps, that doesn't tithe, well, here's an opportunity for you to say, God, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to do it. If you're a person who, when it comes to worship, you just worship on a Sunday morning when we sing 3 or 4 songs and that's it for the rest of the week. Nah, that's not real worship. Worship is something we do every day. Worship is more than just singing. It is that. But worship also is how you live. Worship is speaking the truth. Worship is being a man or woman of integrity before God. Honesty before God. Truth before God. That's what you need to do. Say, God, I'm walking with you. Has he not walked with you? I want to walk with you and put you first. So, Father, while everybody here has got their head bowed, their eye closed, you know them. You know in their lives where they're being blessed and in their lives where they're lacking. You know, Lord. And I know, Father, that you want to turn everything around so that we will be a blessed people. Because as we read your word, that's what you want us to be, blessed. You want us to be happy. To be envied by the world. Because we've got a wonderful God. Because we put you first, you look after us. Now, as there's various things going on in people's minds now, I pray that people here, myself included, Lord, will commit to you in those areas where I've put me first. Help me to change that and put you first. Help me to hear you say me first, not you hearing me say it. It's not me, Lord, it's you. Now I pray that every one of us shall take this message and let it sink into our hearts. And as a result, we will be better Christians, more powerful Christians, more hardworking Christians, more blessed because we put you first. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you.